Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's bow our heads just before we read.
Yes.
Father, we calm our hearts now as we approach your word. Mm-hmm. We enjoyed, Lord, singing the songs that give us joy and bring victory. Mm-hmm. We enjoy the song special our sister Jessica has sung. Lord, we are just praising and giving thanks, Lord. And Lord, now we pray that you would come by your word and that you would speak eternal life into our beings. Lord, may we hear, Lord, and may we see as we're going to speak in just a moment, may we see with eyes of faith to believe. We give you praise, Lord, and may you come now and speak through us and help us to turn aside, Lord, and allow you to speak, Lord. And Father, may you use our thoughts and clear our mind and clear our tongue, Lord. Clear us, Lord, that we're able to speak clearly. A thought that you have presented to my heart, Lord, may I present it to the people in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, now reading verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, we recognize that the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, is the faith chapter. And many that had gone, we see the faith of Abraham and the faith of Moses and those ahead, they all died in faith believing.
Yeah.
But I want you to see this in scripture as I have thought for now, that they all seen the promises of God through a special sight, and that was the eyesight of faith.
Amen.
Seeing the promises of God, not just behind them or in front of them, but they could see them afar off. Mm-hmm. And they believed and they confessed them.
Yeah.
How much should you and I also believe and confess? May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We can have our seats. Brother Branham was speaking a message called Third Exodus in 1963. He would say, by the eyes of faith, look beyond the shadows and we're walking in today. See the promised land lying just ahead.
Yes.
We sang that song, every promise in the book of mine, but you have to be a possessor of the promise. And in order to be a possessor of the promise, you have to have eyes to see what the word of God is promising you. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So we want to take these eyes of faith. And I would have sung maybe a song, but Brother Krim also sang a wonderful song about my Redeemer lives. And we're going to read that scripture in a moment. It's in my notes here tonight. But we would sing a song, and it was maybe an opening song I had thought in my heart to, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Because
right. Yeah.
I want to see you.
Yeah.
How many desires to see the Lord tonight?
Yes.
We may not have come here today to see one another because one another is not the main event. But we have come to see the Lord Jesus in a way by the eyes of our heart. In Job chapter 19, verse 26, it would say this, and though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I will see God. When Job wrote these words, or they were written upon the script, I want you to notice that Job at that moment had was not in a place, a time, or an understanding of time that the Lord Jesus would come and be his Redeemer.
Uh-huh.
But we would see in Job chapter 42, verse 5, Job said, to 42 verse 5, he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the word, but now my eye seeth thee. He's speaking here in such a way that is very in first person, that he is seeing our Lord Jesus. He's seeing God right standing before him.
Praise God.
But it is by the eyes of faith that he's seeing Almighty God. In this message of Job and 1955, as I kind of slow and try to build a thought for you this evening, he said, Job seen what the Lamb meant. He took himself and stood up, being a prophet. The Spirit come on him, and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Oh, there you are, through the eyes of faith.
Amen.
You know, in order, now look at this for a moment, in order for Job to see, as order for Job with prophetic eyes to see, looking forward to what the Lamb of God meant to that Redeemer. I know my Redeemer lives.
God.
Now, Job is known to be the oldest book in the Bible.
Right.
And we see that Job is standing there in the midst of his troubles, struggles, losing his property, losing his livestock, losing his family, and even so, his wife standing before him, just in love, saying, you know, just curse God, you're full of boils, you're in misery. Why don't you just curse God and die? But there was something within Job that could not stand against God, but had to profess God.
Amen, amen.
In such a way that there in the scene of heaven, we would look to see that God is looking upon Job as a son that is trustworthy. One that God knew before time that would not spout off or curse God or do any deed that would disappoint God. And so we see that this heart of Job looked to see and saw the Lamb of God, saw the Redeemer that lived in pure sight. But this is the point I want to make, is that he had to be in the Spirit to receive this eye of faith. He had to be in the Spirit in order to prophesy in this manner, yet in my flesh I will see God. Because if we stop there just a moment as we reflect, we see the Lord Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary, giving his life and he placed into the grave. But we see our Lord Jesus then descending into hell there with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he, as we would dramatize it, he would knock open the doors and he would say, open the prison doors and allow those that were there in prison's chains at that moment, let them set free. And at that moment, there was Job with all the other Old Testament saints, all the prophets before, as they were waiting and they were bound there. Our Lord Jesus freed them with the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and set them free. And there Job could stand there and say, it yet in my flesh, yet in what my eyes can see, I have seen God. So a prophecy was coming forth out of Job by the Spirit of God that was inside of him, or that was moving upon him. Now you'll see in the book of Revelations a similarity where we see John there, and he is saying, now I was on the Spirit on the Lord's day. And we have to reflect here, because in order to have eyes of faith, we have to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, thus John, and now I want to point to you that Job was there when the Holy Spirit was not yet given. But we see that John, one of the disciples, and there in the upper room as the Holy Ghost began to fall, John also received the Holy Ghost on the inside of him.
Yes.
John received that eternal life in his very own being. Do you follow me tonight?
Yes.
We see Job. Job was impressed, and the Spirit began to fall on him. But John had that literal life, the Spirit of God, on the inside of him. It makes a difference. We're not just preaching today about an anointing that falls upon your flesh. We're not speaking about the Spirit or the Holy Spirit of that which falls upon your flesh and gives you a momentary feeling, a momentary blessing, or a momentary experience. But what we're speaking of today, that God fills your very being. Amen. And there is a soul change. There is a change within your life. And so you no longer have a beastly nature. You no longer have an earthly nature, but the Spirit of God possesses your being.
Amen.
Now, Brother Solomon, he preached a wonderful message, and he spoke about the man of Gadara. How remembers that? And we see the Lord Jesus coming by the cries that were spoken in the Spirit. We see our Lord Jesus crossing the Sea of Galilee and coming to there with this man of Gadara that had this legion of devils on the inside of him. Now, what I'm pointing out here is now there was devils that was possessing his body. Can you say amen? It was the enemy there that would cause him to cut himself. It was the enemy that would cause him to lose his way in his mind and break the chains, become stronger, multitude stronger than he could ever be. Just like the man, the maniac that came and wanted to break Brother Branham's bones. You remember that? It was the spirit of the enemy that possessed these men. Now, in a similarity or a parallel to this, I want you to know if the devil can try to possess man, then you must realize that God also possesses man.
Hallelujah.
And if God possesses your being, then you cannot help but act the way God would desire for you or express through you.
Yep.
Isn't that right? You can't help but live a holy life. The man that was filled with the demon cut himself, broke chains, was out of his mind. And those that are in Christ, they have a new mind.
Amen.
They have a new source that's coming up from them to act like Jesus act. So when you ask, we speak about this being filled with the Holy Ghost, what it really means is you're possessed with God's holy eternal life, and you can't do nothing different than what he has spoken or he expects of you. You are filtered. Now, if you're acting like the world and you're running to and fro and your mind and everything is caught up in this world, then it behooves us that you are part of the spirit of this world. And you're not of the Spirit of God. But there is a hope here today. Get in and under the fountain of God. Ask God to come and put life within inside of you that you might grow and that you might have eyes of faith. So in order for John to speak and begin to proclaim the words in Revelations, he had to be in the spirit of the Lord's day, which means the life of God lived in him. And as it lived in him, he became come to a place and he backed into a vision in their spiritual nature and begin to see what God was presenting for generations or church ages to come, even unto the end. But it was John that was living in the presence of God. And you and I are called also to live under the presence of God, in the presence of God.
Yes.
So every day, now underline this, every day in your life, you ought to be living in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Now that does not mean, friends, that we are on a continual high. Oftentimes when we express ourselves and say, oh, we are living in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then our mental focus or our memories go to a time where we had a really good church service and there was expression and there was happiness and joy. We clapped our hands and the preacher said, we are living in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But really, heavenly places means that you are living in God's household.
Yeah.
You're living with God continually because you have eternal on the inside of you. Now, God is not up there in heaven someplace. No, God is within you. He's working within you. His throne room is on the inside of your being. So you are living. Am I making sense to you tonight? You are living in heavenly places with the Lord Jesus. And when he begins to reveal himself to you, he's opening your eyes just as he opened John's eyes to another dimension in order to see what God was bringing forth over the ages and the church ages unto the end. And God is now with his sight revealing those things to you personally as his bride. So now, as we are possessing, as we are moving with the eternal within the inside of us, then we realize that we need to rest on the Lord's Day. Now, John spoke of the Lord's Day, which is the day of rest. And now we could read in the church age book. We don't have time today, but we figure out that the day of rest is not a Sabbath day. It's not a Saturday. It's not a Sunday. It's not any other day of the week, but our Sabbath, the Lord, Jesus Christ, is the Lord of the Sabbath. Yeah. And so we need to live in the Lord's Day. We need to live in this place of rest. Yeah. And we with spiritual eyesight can now see after the opening of the word that we are in the rest.
Amen. Yes.
Now, Brother Branham was filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes. But yet, Brother Branham had to come to a place of rest. Amen. Brother Branham had to come to a place where his eyesight, where he found himself on the day of the Lord. Now the vision of John and now the eyes that were given by faith to John showed that we would be living in the last day, and that last day would be a reality, and that last day would be the day of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now catch this now. When Brother Branham was preaching through the 50s and into the 60s before the opening of the seal, he could not say that it was the day of the Lord, but as things begin to open and the seal was broken and that was all lifted up, now he could say it's finished, all the mysteries. No, it's no longer it's a mystery, but it has been revealed. It has been opened. There's revelation before the people, and now we have eyes to see. Are you catching it tonight? So this, what we're speaking about, the believer rests. You are the believer.
Yeah.
The bride of Jesus Christ, you rest on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and you are persuaded. You have believed and you are persuaded. You believe that God has opened his word to the people, right? So you are persuaded in what the teachings from the prophet have been exposed or open unto us, his people. Can you say amen? So as we're beginning to work on this, Brother Branham, he encourages us. We'll continue. Just don't get lost in my things. Continue with me. Pull along with me now, all right? So we're going to work together here just for a few moments to encourage yourself in these words. Brother Branham says like this, faith waits with patience for the promised word to be fulfilled. And this is a quotation where Brother Branham would bring that in 1965. Now that's the way every believer, no matter how bad the cancer you got,
right,
or how long you've been sitting in the wheelchair, any of those things, just if you can grasp that revelation from God,
amen,
then be satisfied knowing that it's going to happen, yes, because faith waits patiently for the promise.
Yeah.
Okay, so now if you can catch a glimpse of the promise, then your eyes will begin to open by the supernatural.
Yeah.
And your eyes can only be opened by the supernatural is if you're living in the Spirit in a heavenly place with Christ Jesus, and you're living in the opening of the Word, as Brother Branham would tell us, that would occur after the opening of the seals. Because before the seals, it was a closed book.
Yeah.
But now that the seals have been broken and we have eyes to see what God was speaking in them seals, now our eyes are open and the prophet declares to us, as well as our Lord Jesus, that we have come into our rest.
Amen.
So every one of us have to come into rest. In order to declare the word, we must find rest.
Rest.
Now, rest is confidence.
Yes, sir.
That which was spoken in seed form would come forth and yield fruit for the harvest. So you have the confidence that everything that God has written in this book was planted and it was growing, and there's going to come forth a harvest.
Hallelujah.
So now remember now, as I speak, that you are reflecting God. You are a mirror. You are reflecting God. And in Genesis chapter 2, when God spoke, he believed his own word.
Amen.
Did he not? You created in his own image. When he spoke, he believed his own word. And you and I became part of a spirit man. And then we became part of a physical man. And we known it by Adam. And then further down along, we who are a born again child of God, now we are reflecting a perfect reflection of the image of God.
Yes.
Now, God believed his own word. And we find out, and when he rested on the seventh day from all his work.
Yep.
So if we would go day one and day two, day three, day four, day five, and God created and created and said, let there and let there, you know, as we could go through it. But on the seventh day, he rested because the project was finished.
Hallelujah.
We're sitting at a time of finish.
Yes. Yes.
There is no more to be revealed.
Yeah,
the seventh seal has been opened. The only part of that seal that is still quiet is the coming of the Lord, because no man should know the time or the season or the hour when the Lord shall come. Yeah. That part is closed, but the rest of the seal, rest of the book, yeah, is open.
Amen.
And God has finished from his work.
Yes.
Now in Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read it from the Amplified version. If you like to follow along in your King James, that would be fine. But I found a little bit of clarity as we read it like this. For indeed, we have the good news of salvation preached to us. Just as the Israelites also, when the good news of the promised land came to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them.
Yeah.
It was closed. They could not see it.
Right.
Because it was not united with faith in God by those who heard it.
Mm-hmm.
For we who believe, that is, we who have personally trust and confidence rely on God, enter that rest. So we have an inner peace now because we are confident in our salvation and assured of his power, just as he said, I swore an oath in my wrath, and they shall never enter my rest. Now, I want to stop there for just a minute, because over the season of time with the Israelites, they murmured and complained, and they moved forward and backwards and forward and backwards, and God was angry with them, and he wanted to sever them. He wanted to cut them off. He wanted to destroy them. But remember, Moses stood in the gap. Moses stood in the gap. And here he says, he begins to say, I wanted to, as I swore to my oath in my wrath, that they shall never enter my wrath. This he said. Now this is the important part. Although his works were completed from the foundation of the world, God could not destroy them. God cannot destroy us, because it's a completed work already from the foundation of the world, waiting for all who would believe. Verse 4. For somewhere in the scripture, he has said about the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. So if we're understanding properly today, is we recognize that God, in this generation, has opened the word of God to those who would believe.
Yes, amen.
And this word is to elect seed.
Yes.
It is seed that God has previously planted before the foundation of the world. And I am graciously thankful unto God for his mercy endures forever, that I am part, you are part, and so many that would receive him would be part of the elect. Now the call went out. Many were called, but I want you to see that few came. Few desired to come to this feast. Many had excuses. I married a wife. I need to check out some land. I got to do this. But those were the life, those that had the desire, those had the imprint of God on the inside of them, they had the desire to come to the feast. Even though you had to go to the highways and the byways and the places that no man wanted to go, yet there we stood. Yeah. Elect children of God that would receive the invitation and come in, and we would be recognized as those that were planted in the original. Yeah. So now we are planted in the original, and we're growing from grace to grace. Yeah. And God has placed his spirit in us, and he's opened his word to us. He's revealed to us what's in his word in the book of Revelation, showing us our adoption and our placement, showing who he is, showing why there needed to be blood, open the seventh seal before us, and now he says, it's finished.
Hallelujah. Yes. It's marvelous.
It's a finished work.
Yep. Praise God.
He's just waiting for harvest time. Yeah. He's waiting for you and I that are laying in the presence of the S-O-N. Now, you know, in the crops, it's time for harvest, and the sun begins to shine upon the wheat, and the wheat becomes to what? Mature. It comes to a place where the seed, once again, of the original that was planted, the seed is right there in that ear of whatever it's corn or it's wheat or whatever it would be. And inside of there is you and I, but we have to come to a place of maturity and allow ourselves to be in the original. We need to be part of the original. You can't be part of a system. You can't be part of a denomination somewhere back. No, you have to be able to reproduce original seed.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I want to move forward. Are we on the same page?
Yeah.
All right. Now, God never worried that when he placed all the seeds there in Genesis into the ground, he wasn't worried that they would not germinate.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Now, we're speaking naturally and spiritually. We talk about all the trees and all the plants that were in the garden. All the seeds were planted there. But now, spiritually, God is not worried about who his children are.
Right.
He knows his the children from the end, from the beginning. He knows that what season they would be planted in. You and I are planted right here in Laodicea.
Yeah.
And he knows what bride, what seed would come forth in this hour. He knows it.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid that it won't germinate and bring forth life. He has faith in his own word, and he can see down the road what you will become.
Amen. Yeah.
All right, to give you a little illustration, I thought for a moment about a farmer. And you'll find Brother Branham making these same kind of statements. He talks about a farmer, and I'm going to talk about a farmer who plants his seed. And as he plants his seed on one day, he doesn't go after it the next day and dig it all up.
Right.
And see whether or not it's germinating. Right? The farmer knows that the ground that it is implanted in is good ground.
Yes.
Just as well as he knows the seed that he has is certified seed. So now the ground, I want to speak about the ground for just a moment and reflect upon it in your own life, if you would, for a moment. Because I know there's different types of ground, but I'm talking to people today that are good ground. Okay? I want to leave the stony ground alone. I want to leave the dry ground alone. I want to talk to you, the good ground. Now, there's great pains that go forward in preparing good ground. I mean, from plant to season to the next to the harvest and everything that goes on, there's great pains that go forth. Now, first of all, in the beginning of time, in order to plant seed, you have to own that land.
Yes.
So God purchased each one of us. He looked at the plots of land and he looked at before us and he said, now that is good ground and I want to purchase it.
Yes.
And so with pains and sufferings and so on, he purchased your ground. So the farmer now, he begins to take your purchased ground and he begins to work that ground. You know, I don't know the proper farming terms, but you know, like when we had a little garden, we would take a rotor tiller.
Yes.
And we would take it and we would bounce it around and we would stir up the ground and Sister Hannah would be in behind with the hoe and she'd break things up. And I want you to know that if there was a stone in that way, you know what? We would dig and dig and dig and we'd pull it out and we would cast it aside. And then we would get to some roots, and sometimes, you know, roots track, or maybe there's some a plant that was there, or some stumps, or whatever it is, that grew down deep, you know, like a mulberry tree. It grows deep in the ground and really anchors there, and you can't get that thing out, kind of like a root of bitterness in our lives. Anybody been there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really buries itself, you know. You know, they say never plant a mulberry bush over top of your septic system. Do you know why? Because the roots will go on top of it and it will crunch it and it will cause a very big stink. Think about your own life. You know, you don't want to plant the mulberry bush too close, because as it buries and buries and buries, it will be very unprofitable for your life. It will bring forth fragrances that's not very good in your life. So the master knows these things, okay? I'm trying to dramatize this. We're all together on the same page. The master knows these things, and he turns the ground. He moves the ground. He hoes the ground. And he gets it in the position that he knows that there is going to be success. He's not planting anything without knowing that he's going to get a crop out of it. And so now the farmer, he knows the ground is prepared. He's ready. So now what he does, he doesn't just go to any seed lot.
Right.
Okay. He doesn't just go anywhere. No, he goes to a place where he knows where the original product, original seed is housed. And he can take that seed and place it and up will grow the same seed he put in the ground.
Yeah,
because he wants to take that seed and he wants to put it in the gardener. He wants to take and save some and he wants to use it over and over. And so he knows that it needs to be a seed that's certified that will bring forth life. Yeah. The stamp approval's on it, brother. Yeah. Brother Bill. I mean, there's no other way. It's going to grow. Now, the spoken word of God is the original seed.
Yeah.
All right? Let there be light, and there was there. Let that happen, come forth, let eyes be open. We hear all the different accounts of Jesus. That's the spoken word of God. And the spoken word form, that's that word that is instilled in your life, it will come to pass within your life. And it, Scripture says it will not return to him void.
Uh-huh, praise God.
Okay, that's promised. It will not. So in God providing healing for this generation, 1954, we see the prophet say, and God's word is a seed, as Jesus said it was,
yeah.
And it placed in the human heart, and there watered by faith, it'll produce anything that God said in his word that it would do. It'll produce.
Yeah.
I want you to see, it will produce.
Yes.
Now, God has hindsight. He can see way back,
right.
And he can see presently what's going on, and he has the foresight to see.
Yep. Praise God.
So we read how he knew before the foundation of the world. He knew presently at your state where the word was planted in your life.
Yes.
You're still here growing, still here maturing, still here, you know, coming to a place where God can place you as a harvest into the garner. So he knows presently, but he also has that foresight to see where you're going and how that you are going to come and be garnered. You're going to be a harvest. You're not part of the chaff.
Right.
You know, the chaff, when they begin to harvest and they break up and the seed is laying on the threshing floor and they take the fans and they begin to throw the seed in the air, what happens to the chaff?
It blows away.
It blows away.
Yeah.
And all of that, and it blows into a pile, and all that chaff, all those that are not predestinated in Christ, all those that were part of the plant but never came forth to seed,
yeah,
will be burnt. But those that are seed of God, that have received that seed within inside of them, what? They will be gathered together.
Amen.
Now I want you to see now that God's sight, as he sees the hind and the present and has foresight, his eyes see and his eyes know, and he desires within him that we come to a place, as I've repeated, to a maturity. And I want to underline that because we have to come to a place of harvest.
Yes.
It's very important that we come mature. Now, God has typed us to be the bride of Christ.
Right.
Oftentimes, we say that God is not going to marry an immature child.
Yep.
God is going to marry a body that's whole and together and healthy. God is going to marry a bride that's mature. And so as we come to a place of harvest, we need to find that we find ourselves in maturity. And maturity means to find ourselves in rest. Find ourselves in a place where the thus saith the Lord is settled on the inside of our being. That's what it means to come to maturity. We are planted in good ground. It's good original seed. We're coming up as harvest. We're laying in the sun. We're coming to a place where we're going to be moved into the gardener.
Yeah.
But in order to be true moved, we need to have this inner rest.
Yes. Amen.
And the inner rest only comes when we have eyes of faith.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Eyes of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We truly have been given eyes to see. Bible says you have been given eyes to see and ears to hear. And we're speaking about eyes just now, eyes of faith. So as we transition a little bit, speaking about the eyes of faith, now I want you to notice, remember Peter, when Jesus asked the disciples, this is, you know, and he speaks to them and says, who do men say that I am? We recognize this here, Peter, he speaks words, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's his first encounter with spiritual eyesight. You know, it's God's like vision. It's revelation. It's an announcement to his very heart that came through his mouth and said, thou art the Christ. It's an announcement of who Jesus was.
Yeah.
Now, Peter's flesh did not reveal this to him.
Right.
Peter said, Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed to your natural intellect, your senses. We talked about senses last Sunday morning. Our senses did not show who Jesus was. Our senses does not show that we are the bride of Jesus Christ. It's not by our intellect. It is by spiritual eyesight that we know and we can receive who Jesus Christ is. So really, if you boil it all down, Peter, now here in our scripture, for the first time, encountered the sixth sense of faith. For his eyes to be open and be able to see that Jesus was God manifested in flesh.
Yes.
Now, eyesight of faith is constantly in exercise.
Yes.
Your eyesight of faith is continually being exercised.
Yes.
Now, I say it like that because you can read your Bible. And as Brother Krim and I were speaking about Luke chapter 17 and speaking about profitable, unprofitable servants, how many has read that scripture over and over again? I have the same. And the last time, I think it was the Wednesday night, it opened to me that we are profitable servants, but it's not our duties don't make us profitable servants. And we see it over and over again, even as we're reading the message, the perfect faith, that we could read it I don't know how many times. And God then begins to one moment open little things to you that you've never seen before.
Hallelujah.
So your spiritual eyesight is continually exercising.
Amen, amen.
Psalms 25:15 says, my eyes are ever towards the Lord. So you have to keep a continual vision towards the Lord. You're meditating upon the scriptures. You're meditating upon the message. You're meditating upon God has spoken, and your eyes are ever, as David said, towards the Lord. If you want more spiritual eyesight, you can't leave your Bible sitting and to gather dust.
Yeah.
You can't just say, oh, well, I know God sent a prophet and never know what he said.
Yep, that's right. Amen.
And so your eyes are of faith are always toward the Lord, and your faith is always being exercised.
Yep.
Now, Paul in Hebrews chapter 11, 27, when he's speaking about Moses, says that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. His endurance and his work and Moses, I mean, he must have had a struggle with those people. But as he endeavored and as he pushed forward, he looked past what is all seen around him and looked to the invisible God, the one that sent him, the one that called him, the one that was driving him towards with the people the promised land. So Moses' heart was sustained through faith, being occupied by the mighty mindset of God. Amen.
Yes.
Now, we read in our Bibles and we speak of eyesight of faith. And we find out that faith in our Bibles frequently is represented as natural bodily sight. When you read, and I'll give you some examples just in just a moment, but when you read about how open my eyes, it gives that natural typing the spiritual, always speaking naturally and bringing a spiritual for us to see what God is intending. So here's an example. Jesus said of Abraham in John chapter 8, verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Now, Abraham lived way before our Lord Jesus came to earth. And yet the Lord Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day.
Right.
Okay, Abraham was nowhere close to where Jesus was. So you can't use an image of the physical here. You have to move to a spiritual. Because there, Abraham saw it, meaning that his faith looked forward to the day of Christ's redemption work. His eyesight of faith looked forward to when our Lord Jesus would come. In the Message Expectation, 1955, Brother Branham says, Abraham called those things which were not as those they were. He didn't look at the natural things. He looked to the unseen. He looked by the eyes of faith what God said and what God said and what God said and would keep. So that's where his eyes of faith were in that example. Now, Paul, in Acts 26, verse 16 and 18, when he was commissioned, we read the scripture say, but arise and stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both to these things which are seen and those things in which I will appear, that I will appear unto thee.
Praise God.
Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee.
Amen.
All right, verse 18. To open their eyes. What were they naturally blind?
No.
Paul was sent to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to speak of the truth, to speak to them of what he experienced on the road to Damascus, to speak of Jesus Christ, to stand there and be a mouthpiece, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Open our eyes, Lord, of faith.
Yes, amen.
Now, again, thinking for just a moment, naturally types of spiritual. Let's look at the human eye. Can we do that for a moment? Now, this is not a science lesson. Okay, we just want to cover some things. And I want to look at the human eye and its job to the human body.
Okay.
And how it symbolizes the faith in our heart. Because we're seeing with eyes of faith in our heart. Remember, it's all about resting. We want to grow that we might rest in this day that is the Lord's day. The finish of his work and his coming, which is the catching away, which be the rapture. So if we look at the eye for just a moment, I want you to notice that you have two of them. And they are actually passive, but a very powerful organ. Mm-hmm. Passive, Brother Steve, yeah, they're passive, but they're very powerful organ. How can I say that? Because they don't communicate to things they see on their own. So when you look at with your eye, they have no voice. They're not communicating. What are they doing? Your eye just takes in the print or the image and focuses on the object and translates it to your brain. Now, I want you to notice the eye of faith that God has put in our life is bold. So it looks boldly upon what God has promised. It looks boldly upon everything that God has said. And just the same as when I'm looking at Sister Serena, as she's the closest to me just now, I look at her boldly and I see Sister Serena. But my eye is not communicating with Sister Serena. I'm looking at her. But it's translating the imprint of her in front of me to my brain. And it's giving me an idea, a knowledge, who Sister Serena is. So faith does the same thing. It offers nothing on its own. It only offers what the word says.
Amen.
You look in your Bible and you read what God says. It doesn't have a chance to argue. I want you to notice your brain argues. It reasons. But your eye does not argue. It doesn't reason. It doesn't have an emotion. It just reproduces or imprints down and lets you know what's written on this page. So now it only offers, as I back for a moment to get my thoughts, it offers what the word said. It receives the word and brings it powerfully into your heart. And now in your heart, now we know that the heart is where the soul dwells. Now inside of a man, let's not argue, you know, but inside of a man is a soul.
Yes.
Many people, they like to argue, well, is it really in the heart? Where is it? Let's not argue about it. We just know that there inside of a man is a soul that makes us different from a dog.
Yes, amen.
Makes us the highest form of life. It gives us reasoning of right and wrong. And it's whether or not there is the seed of the serpent or it's the seed of Christ living on the inside of you. And as good ground today, we have certified seed, and it's the seed of God. So what happens? The word receives what you're looking at powerfully, or the eyes receive the word as you're looking powerfully, and it goes down into the soul where God dwells. And the word is viewed by the context of divine revelation.
Nice.
Remember, eternity lives within you. So the context of what you are absorbing, what the promises that come forth to you, I'm the God that heals all thy diseases, you read that, it drops into your soul, and it is reviewed, it is discerned in the context of divine revelation.
Amen.
It cannot fail. This is why we're saying, well, God's word cannot fail to you. If you truly believe with all your heart, it has to come to pass.
Amen.
Brother Branham says in this message, 1955, the power of the devil. The doctor may say every hope is gone.
Right.
But stand right by your side tonight, standing right by your side tonight, ready to take you in possession, stands the eye of faith, who sees the victory yonder through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the word of God tells you that there is life for you. The doctor says no.
Hallelujah.
But standing right beside you, the word of God says, yes, there is life. Like I just said, I am the God that heals all your diseases. And it stands there to take possession of. It stands there to receive the word into your heart. And then the eyes of faith unload it. And God says, yes, yonder, I have purchased your healing through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a finished work. You see, Brother Steve, give me a biblical further example, and I shall. I want you to see in Numbers chapter 21, verse 6 through 9. Now, remember this. The Israelites had done evil before the Lord, and the Lord was punishing them now, and he sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people come to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Amen. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass, hallelujah, that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Amen. So what happened here? They were bitten. Moses went before the Lord. God gave him his word. Said, tell them to look and to live. Is not the word of God. That's the word of God to Moses. Yes. Now, a question I have. What did the bitten Israelites communicate to the brass serpent? Did they speak to it? They merely looked at it. Right? There was no communication. The word of God said, look and live. They didn't pray to it. They didn't act. No, that wasn't there. They were only, now remember, it represents the cross. So there they looked upon it and they were healed. So there is nothing an Israelite could do of themselves except to obey the word of God. So what had to happen? Faith had to take hold of the image of the word that was spoken. And that promised word that was spoken was transported to their heart. And faith in their heart, what? Believed the word of God. Yes. And God brought that word into fulfillment because it was the revelation that received that the word would produce as Moses said it would produce. The divine revelation spoke out. Look unto me, Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me and be saved. This is the word of God. It was translated. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no one else. Look and live. Yes. So the eye couldn't speak, but it merely took the image, took the word, and it made it powerful, and it came into the heart, and they believed and were saved. I'm trying to speak to you today. Every promise of God is yours if you can take it in through the eyes of faith. Believe not your natural eyes, not your natural senses, not by your reasoning, but just take God's word as it says. Let your eyes translate it by faith into your heart, and let it build, and may it be strong in power, and may that divine nature of God translate it within you so that you can receive all the promise that God has for you. Yeah. Why? Because we want to enter into our rest.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
The blind Bartimaeus, good message, 55. Now, just by faith, look at to him. By eyes of faith now, with your physical eyes closed, look to him. Just imagine, there he stands, right there beside, by your side. His arms are outstretched. Now, there's only one thing to keep you from receiving it. Right over you hangs a dark shadow. That's Satan, a doubter. Oh, there's a doubter.
Yeah.
There's that fellow that's trying to make you reason and make you doubt, because if you can have faith like a mustard seed, it will come forth just as God had said. But if your faith is just like a grain of a doubt seed, what happens? It will shrink the whole thing, and you cannot receive that promise, that word. That's for you.
Right.
All right, over there hangs a dark shadow, that Satan, a doubter. Now, I'm going to rebuke that doubt, Brother Bram says, that thing that would make you doubt.
Amen.
That's my prayer. Now, you just keep shut in with God while I'm praying for you. Shut in with God. Yes, we got to keep your mind focused upon the word, remember? Keep the word of God in the frontals of your mind. It has to be your foremost attention. It has to be what you meditate on.
Amen, amen.
It can't be out there somewhere upon what you've seen on television or somewhere or on a billboard somewhere. Your eyesight, you know, can't be focused out there somewhere. You need to be shut in with God in that secret place. Oh, Brother Steve, I have to live in this world. Yes, you need to live in this world, but your heart is not of this world.
Amen.
And you have a certified seed on the inside, and it's growing, it's coming to maturity. Let the world go by and all the things go by, but focus your attention on Jesus Christ. So he's going to rebuke the doubt in prayer. Now just keep your mind, keep yourself shut in with God, believing that God's healing power is coming right into you by your own faith right now. God's healing power is moving right into you by faith that you're receiving it. Shut in with God. Receive what God has. The power of God. What an eyes of faith. What a power faith has. Oh, it goes so far beyond the devil's power. This little simple organ of faith, yes, it carries no communicative, but it's so powerful because it takes in the light, and Jesus is the light. It takes the image of the word, and it becomes translated in the heart to become reality to the believer. Oh, do you got just a minute? I know.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I studied and studied and studied. Just give me a few more minutes.
Yes, go on.
You know this little eye, naturally, it orientates you and it directs your path. Okay, like I can see as I'm walking, and I won't stumble because the light is on and I can see objects in my way. Just the same, if the darkness came, well, I would have to readjust and maybe I couldn't see so clearly. Maybe I would stumble. And so I want you to see that the eye of faith enables us to see the path that we are walking. Don't smother, don't squash the eye of faith. Don't go somewhere else in this world and try to fill your life with it, because you need eyesight of faith.
Yes.
In 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Your natural eyes. Don't do it. Don't get caught up in the medical science. Don't get caught up on these things. Well, you're living, you got your head in the sand. Well, brothers and sisters, if we want to be caught up on that day, we need to shut our eyes into Christ and only see what the word says about it.
Amen.
Yes. Now, if we can see clearly, most likely we'll not walk into a post, right? We'll not stumble or we'll not fall into a ditch. But if there's a cataract that comes upon our eyes or something our eyes, like the skin of our eyes grows over the cornea, and pretty soon we can't see clearly, what happens is we stumble around.
Right.
And so the environment that we're in can cause us big trouble about how we can see. You know, the clear part of your eye, that's called the cornea. One of our brothers here just had corneal surgery because it was clouded over and he couldn't see through. It made everything foggy. And if it lasts for a certain amount of time, actually the body will shut off and you'll become blind in that eye. So you got to come to the place where that eye begins to be open.
Right.
And so we got to ask God to allow us to walk by faith and not sight of this world.
Yes.
So it's by faith then. And First John chapter 1 verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanses us from all sin. Now we need to walk and be directed in the light that he's in.
Yeah.
So that means that we can't go after a light of another age.
Right. That's true. Yes.
You can't, all of us can't be boat builders thinking that we're going to live in Noah's day. It's over. It happened.
Yeah. Amen.
right? We can't walk, you know, as Brother Brandon would say all the time. You see, you can't be in Luther's age. You're living in a glare of another age. You can't live in a Methodist age. You can't live in a Pentecostal age. No, you need to live in the opening in the Lord's day. This is where we belong. We find our rest now. And if we don't walk in this light, we'll stumble around and we'll never have our possession. We'll never come to that bright place where God wants us to be.
Amen.
We need to keep, as Proverbs 4:19 says, we need to keep from wicked dark places.
Yes.
The way of the wicked is dark, and they know not what they stumble.
Right.
Oh, let us take the word of God that we read, that enters into our eyesight. Let's take it and run with it as God instructed us to run. Let's run clearly with the word of God.
Amen.
Paul tells us to look and see Jesus, the light of the world, the author and the finisher of our faith, to run the race that's set before us in clarity. Run it in clarity. Now, furthering just a moment, our eyes is very quick in our orientation. It gives us direction, but it gives us quick orientation. So within a fraction of a moment, you can look up, you can look down, side, left, right, and it can capture all those things in your vision all of a sudden. And you have memory of what it is. I mean, I close my eyes and I see, oh, I know exactly where everybody was because the vision, what? It gave me orientation. We see things lying on the ground. We see things up in the mountainside. We can see the stars in the sky miles away. And faith gives us also that ability to see what God did, what God is doing, and what God will do.
Amen.
Praise God. The book is open. It once was a closed, but it's open now before us.
Yes,
all right, let's quickly look for a moment what God did at Calvary, looking back. And Brother Branham talks about the Lord in this message, Lord, I believe. He says, sister, by eyes of faith, let's look there to Calvary. And there was a blood sufficient, came from them, Emmanuel's veins, to give a blood transfusion by faith tonight. He says again, by eyes of faith, we look there and see there where the debt was paid. So in your personal life, I wanted to bring this to you to show you that the price was paid at Calvary. You have eyesight to glance back there.
Yeah.
To see where your sins, your pains, your sufferings, all that was, God took them upon himself. He paid the debt at Calvary.
Yeah.
And then we look at the present and we see in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered. Oh, how many of us are here today?
Yeah, that's right.
Where two or three are gathered in my name.
Yeah.
There I am in the midst of them. Where is God? By eyes of faith, Brother Bram says, I believe that he's here.
He is here.
How do you know he's here? Because his word promised it. I focused upon those letters of the love letter. And it said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there he would be. What happened? Those eyes of faith took it in. It powerfully dropped into my heart. The context of that was spiritually discerned by the divine nature of God. And my spiritual eyesight and my body, it comes to the revelation and realization, though I don't see him, though I don't feel him, but the unseen has become seen, and he's right here in the midst of us. And the power of the devil, as we quickly go, we won't sing till long after. I just want to fill this in. When we see Satan in all of his corruption of making young ladies and young men and old and everything out here on the streets drunk and cursing and acting the way they're doing under Satan's domain. But we look beyond that with eyes of faith. It gives us direction. We look on that with eyes of faith and can see a perfect world. Oh my. A perfect people during the time of the millennium.
Yeah.
Eyes of faith. Oh, we have great vision, great ranges and vast ranges to see, to understand and know the distance and the fathom what God has spoken. Joel, when in the scripture, would talk, the prophet would say that he would look down through the eyes of faith. Now, Joel, he had no idea what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost, but yet through the eyes of faith, he prophesied. Paul, with the eyes of faith, he begins to look. Now, I want you to read this. This will be a final quote and we'll end. Why I am a holy roller in 1953. 53. Can we move it there?
Yes.
Next one, sis. That'll be good. One more. Mm-hmm. Yes. Look across the seas of time, he said. In the last days, it would come to pass. How in the last days they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. He's seeing a vision here.
Yeah.
And we're reading it, and it's becoming part of us. Go out on Sunday afternoon and play golf instead of having church.
No way.
Well, listen, we're getting our orientation now. We're beginning to be able to see here with eyes of faith here to discern what they saw back there in Scripture, and they move it forward to see our day.
Right.
And Joel saw that the pouring of the Holy Ghost would be upon the people, and God would restore all things. The bride tree would be restored. Now Paul is telling us, if we look at the time, he said, out in the last days we would be heady and high-minded and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. To go on Sunday and play golf instead of having church. Close up Sunday night because it's too hot to come. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of those things that are good. So God has given the ability through eyesight to see all these marvelous things. But aren't you glad now? Let's pull back for just a moment. Aren't you thankful unto God? This is the part where I give thanks to the Lord. Aren't you thankful to the Lord that he has prepared you to be good ground?
Yes, praise God.
By his purchase price and by the work and the toil and the sweat that you're going through trials and temptation, he's prepared you for the seed that's inside of you.
Yes, amen.
And it's not just some other seed up there that, you know, that's planted up there somewhere. And, oh, a little bit of Jesus this and the Jesus that. No, it's original seed that come from God. And it's planted in your life, calling you to act as he act as the original.
Yes. Praise God.
In faith and holiness, without holiness, no man shall see God, moving up inside of your life. And it's growing. Now, your plant. Now, friends, we're living at the end time. And so if you just come to God, and we're seeing it all the time. It's beautiful. People that just give their life to God and see the message of the hour, and they begin to read. All of a sudden, I'm going to say this in such a carnal way, but forgive me. It's like they're spiritual steroids.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
All of a sudden, they're planted. They start to grow. This is the last day. 11th hour workers, okay? We don't have time to wait. We want those that just have been received the Lord and received the message of this hour to grow steadily. And I say, fan the flames, Lord. Fan the flames, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? Ask questions. This is where the word comes forward and we can speak. Speak. We're excited to see the growth of God in people's lives.
Amen.
So we have no worry. It's beginning to grow, and we're becoming to a place where we need to be in maturity so that our lives might be ready to go in the catching of the way as a mature bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But before we're caught up, the proof of the pudding of who we are is that we can enter into the rest that God has asked us to be fully confident and persuaded by faith of eyesight to know that whatever God has said, it will come to pass. Because in order to have a body change, we have to have eyes to see that it will happen, and it needs to drop into our hearts by the eyes, by the knowledge of the word, and into our hearts to be what? Divinely read in the context of the divine nature of God. So we pray, oh Lord, may our eyesight increase. Remember I said, it's continually exercised. Don't be stunted. Don't stop. Don't stop. No, push, push, push. Don't let the ministry just push. No, you push. Push into the word of God. And much more could be said, but we're going to close now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that your word... You said, Father, that you would be in our midst, and you are in our midst. And may your word be established now into our hearts, not just into our minds, but down in the depths of our hearts, that we might receive it and live it, we pray. Receive it and live it, Lord.
Amen.
Father, help us to enter into that rest.
Yes.
Under the opening of the word, under the revealing, oh God, of this word in this hour, where we know who we are and what we're raised up for. Lord, we have that, as the songwriter wrote, the original life, living, dwelling, moving, maturing with inside of our being. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.